Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet land. This is John Stanko, your host, and I'm back. I took a week off. Did you miss me? Don't answer that question. But it is good, at least for my end, to be back, and I'm really glad today that I am restarting my show with my good friend, Pastor Yvonne Brooks, who's holding on the other line from the UK, and we always have a great time when we're together, whether it's on the phone or on Facebook, better yet when we're in person, but this is the next best thing to being there. And so I greeted her just to make sure that our connection was okay, but as I've told you often, I don't like to talk to my guests beforehand or give them a list of questions. I like to emerge and be spontaneous, and I think then It is more meaningful for the listener as well. So that is my philosophy, and I am sticking with it. I had a great week. Right now, it is hot. I mentioned on Facebook Live just a few minutes ago, 2 months ago, it was May the 9th, and I told you it was snowing outside. Yesterday, our heat index here in the city where I live is 110 degrees. It was 97 but it said it felt like it was 110. Today, I know it's already hot. I go walking early in the morning. It's 91, and it feels like it's 100. And so we have small trees around our plan that, and they're dying from lack of water, and they're not new trees. But last year was one of our rainiest summers ever. In fact, the last two this year, heat. But my garden, I mean, I enlisted the help of our neighbor because we were away for a couple of days to visit family, and so he came over a couple times a day and watered. So my garden is, I'm going to have to cut through it with a machete because it loves this hot weather. Give these cucumbers and peppers and tomatoes a lot of water with a lot of hot weather, and already in early July, they are producing abundantly, which is such great fun. And of course, being locked in at home, it means we have to find fun at home. And we're going to talk to Pastor Yvonne because she's been putting some pictures on Facebook that are really beautiful. And I want to talk to her about what she's been showing us because it's similar to what I just talked to you about. Also, in the last week, I had a chance to watch Hamilton. I downloaded the Disney Plus app and watched it twice, and was so impressed. I come away from anything like that saying if that's what they did for the glory of Broadway or music or history or whatever their or money, whatever their motivation was, what can I do for the Lord? And I said, God, help me to produce something that will take people's breath away, just like that took my breath away. And it was it's magnificent. I encourage you to watch it, even if you don't live in the States and have an opportunity to do that. You may not understand all the nuances of the history of the story that it's telling, but boy, the music, and to have an entire show that's in hip hop and much of it rhyming, some of it rap. It's just 2 hours and 40 minutes of magnificence, and the way it was staged, and it just was quite enjoyable. So really enjoyed that. Had a chance to go down to Virginia to see our grandchildren, but for one day we went to see my brother-in-law, who was staying in a hotel. So we stayed in a hotel in Northern Virginia, just a stone's throw from downtown Washington, D.C., in the midst of a very, usually very busy, congested area, and it was spooky. We pulled up to the hotel at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There was nobody around. We went into the hotel. There was nobody there except the people at the front desk. The restaurant, we saw six people over the 24 hours we were there. We went into the parking garage, which was normally, it's multi-level, would have been full. I parked on the first level. There was nobody there. There was no traffic when we got there. There was no traffic in the evening. There was no traffic in the morning. It was eerie. It was like, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, but it was noontime or 4 p.m., and we went into a restaurant. We just walked across the parking lot to a restaurant, and there were about 9 people in there, and it just was a bizarre experience, and then we went on to stay with family, and then we came home. So just very interesting. Also, I mentioned on Facebook Live just again a few minutes ago that my online purpose classes start Saturday, July 26th. I'm having a Saturday class, a Sunday class, and a Wednesday evening class. And there is a tuition charge for this. The reason I'm doing this is that many people make their living as coaches from some of this material, so I don't want to undercut them. But I have raised some money for scholarships. People have been applying, and I want to encourage you to go to Facebook and find the link to my blog, and there you have all the information for the classes that you need. If you can't find it there, then just drop me an email at johnstanko@gmail.com, and I will send you the information. Over the weekend, I'm going to be working on the exact program, the reading schedule, the video viewing schedule, and then we start July 26th, 27th, and 29th. We're going 4 weeks. And this is an experiment that maybe in future classes will go a little longer, but we're going to check this out and see how it goes. So I think that's about all the things. If you haven't downloaded the Purpose Quest International Ministry app, please do so, especially if you're going to register for the classes, because there are videos on that app that you will need to watch for the class. So it's a free download to your Android or your iPhone. So you can go to Google Play, or you can go to the iTunes Store, or you can go to Amazon Internet and download Purpose Quest International, and you will have more of John Stanko than you ever could have imagined that you would need or want. Now, I usually read a psalm, and we're going to keep with our tradition. And in moving on, last week, Friday, with my last show, we read Psalm 116, so we're going to move on to Psalm 117. And here it is, and listen closely. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. That's it. Two verses. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. So your creativity doesn't have to be hugely long or hugely complex. It just has to be an expression of what it is that you are seeing and sensing in the Lord. Now, those two verses would very neatly fit into a Facebook post that would be short enough that it would have, you could use one of the color frames to make it stand out even more. And so that would be a good post. But again, my point is, it doesn't have to be intricate and involved. It just has to be an expression of what's in your heart. And so now we're going to go into Psalm 119, and that's the longest psalm in the book of 150 psalms. So, but this one is just about the shortest. All right, enough of that. Let me bring my guest on, Pastor Yvonne Brooks. This will be your third time on Wake Up to Purpose. Pastor Yvonne, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stanko. How are you?
We are doing well. We got our grandchildren fixed, and that'll hold us probably for about 3 weeks till they come here, and it was quite enjoyable. And how are you doing in the UK? How are things?
Well, I'm doing great. It's such a pleasure to be back on the show again, of course. I love talking to you about purpose or anything, actually. I always get something out of our conversations. We're doing pretty well here. When I woke up this morning, the sun was bright. It was warm. And by the time I came downstairs, it was raining. And then the sun came out again, and it was bright and sunny. And I've actually took a trip to Stafford because it was my niece's birthday today. She turned 18. So we went to take her cake and some balloons and just to celebrate with her. And it took us 2 hours to get there. There's so much traffic on the motorway.
Really?
And so I was quite concerned I wouldn't get back in time for our show. So I made sure that we left in good time. There was a bit of traffic, but we made it back here by 4:30. So I was very relieved. So things are pretty much returning to normal here. A lot of people are confused about what to do because they can't just believe that one day you can be isolating and shielding, and the next day you can just do whatever you want. And, of course, we're going to the shops, and some shops are meticulous. You have to have hand gel at the door. You have to wear a mask to go in. You have to follow the arrows on the floor so that you go in the right direction. Then you'll go into another shop, and there's nothing. You know, there's no direction, there's no guidance, there's no hand gel. So, we're going back to normal in some sense. But still, I feel that it's a different atmosphere. It's a different time. Things won't be quite the same. I can feel there's a hesitancy with people because right now there's a lot of conspiracy theories. Is it something that the government engineered? Is it a worldwide conspiracy to change the world order? Is it a chance to experiment on people? There's so much, and you don't know quite what to make of it. So literally, we're playing it by ear, taking it a day at a time. Most churches have reopened just for individual prayer, but we can't have proper church services because you can't sing, can't really preach. As such, so personally at New Jerusalem, we won't be opening the building for Sunday services quite yet because even now there are several areas in the UK that have got what they call local lockdown. So in Leicester, there's a local lockdown. And it looks like maybe in Wolverhampton and Dudley, they may be instituting a local lockdown because we just don't know what's going to happen. But some cases are increase again. So myself personally, I'm being quite cautious and making sure I keep myself and my family safe.
Yeah, we have the same thing here. Of course, people ran out without their masks, and now we've got you know, a real spike in cases, and so they closed our restaurants again. They closed our bars. Now they're allowing them to reopen if they eat outside, and they were limiting to 50 people inside. Now they're limiting it to 25 people, and so and the conspiracy theories, as you said, abound, it is, and it's fed by some significant prophetic names that are making hay in this season to catching the attention of a lot of people. My own sense is, if it is a conspiracy, my trust is still in the Lord. He's smarter than all of them. He's bigger than all of them. And this isn't the first time we've seen conspiracies, and won't be the last, because we're a fallen race, and the fear of conspiracies. And so anyway, it's quite fascinating to watch. I think it's I have not been of the philosophy of giving too much credence or listening to them, and we'll see how it all ends up. Now, you had a very special event in the last week or two, did you not? In your household and in your relationship?
We celebrated our 42nd year of marriage. I had to go and check the certificate because I'm only 23 years old. How can I be married for 42
years? Yeah.
It was incredible.
And how did you celebrate? What did you do? What I saw some pictures, but what did the day was it comprised of?
Well, I don't really like parties too much. And, of course, during this COVID-19, you can't do anything very much anyway. So we had a quiet day. We had a lovely breakfast at home. And then we left home and we drove into the countryside. And we spent a good portion of the day in a garden center where we chose some new plants for our garden. And then we went and drove some more into the country in the area that I used to work in before we moved to Birmingham. And then we came back home and had a nice dinner at home. We just enjoyed each other's company. It was so nice.
Mm-hmm. That is very nice to be married 42 years and still being enjoying one another's company. And you said you went out and got some plants. Now expand on this further and talk to me about this green thumb that either you have developed or has been a part of you for a while, and I wasn't completely aware of that.
Okay. Well, when I lived in London before I got married, and I knew nothing about plants. I think I had one geranium in my mom's house, and that was the only plant I knew apart from mint. But when I got married and moved to Stafford and we bought our first house, I just had a natural attraction to trying to grow things. We bought a house with an established garden, so mostly it was about maintaining that and just looking after the plants. But when we bought our second house, there were not any plants in the garden at all. And I discovered that if I was going to get more knowledgeable and get experience with plants and growing plants, I needed a mentor. Isn't that strange?
Mm-hmm.
And so I met a lady who lived just a few doors away from me. And she was an avid, voracious gardener. She still is. And I started talking to her about plants. And she said, oh, here, take this. Here, take that. And this is what you do with this. And this is what you do with that. Because I didn't know what she was talking about. But I persisted because I was enjoying this new expression of being able to grow things and create things. There's nothing more satisfying than either getting a cutting or a root of a plant or a seed or even buying a seedling in the garden center and then taking it home like a new baby, putting it in the ground that you've prepared because, you know, you need to dig a hole, you need to put some kind of food material in there. So I'll put some compost and maybe some chicken manure, dig that in, and then I'll put the new plant in and water it in so that it has everything that it needs. It's got light, it's got air, it's got food, it's got moisture. So given those conditions, there's only one thing the plant can do. It's to grow. And so over the years, because I didn't know that there was such a variety of plants, I didn't know the difference between a perennial, a hardy perennial, an annual, deciduous trees, and evergreen trees. I knew nothing. You know, all my life I've seen plants and just took them for granted completely. But now when you start to explore what is there, you actually begin to see, number one, plants are in families. So, for example, a common family, I'm sure you know what the carnation is. The flower, the carnation.
Right.
And so the carnation is part of the pinks family or dianthus. And so I began to notice different characteristics, different plants that bound them together as a family. So within the carnation family, you have sweet williams, you have pinks, carnations, and lots of other plants which names escape me right now. But then you begin to see the family characteristics. You learn how to propagate them, how to care for them, and how to get them to really flower for you, bringing color to your garden. So I've just gone completely head over heels in love with flowers from possibly over 30 years ago. And I had a greenhouse at that time, and I began to learn how to grow aubergines, tomatoes, cucumbers, and sweet peppers in the greenhouse. I started a huge herb garden outside because I love cooking. So, of course, I wanted fresh herbs. So I could just go out in the garden and pick, bring into the kitchen and include them in my meals. But where I am now, it's a much smaller garden. So I've concentrated on just creating beauty. I believe mm-hmm. that God made the garden. He created Adam and Eve to live in the garden. And I think there was a specific reason for that. See, once I'm outside in the garden, Dr. Santo, I feel so peaceful. And so it's been a godsend during this time of lockdown when we weren't allowed to leave the house and go out, but I could find my garden. Over the last few years, I've been traveling so much, I couldn't do anything in depth. But when I saw that I had time in front of me, I began to do some deep work. I started digging out some plants that had run wild and some things that had died. I dug them out and completely refreshed the soil, first of all. And then I started to move plants around in the garden so that they were in a better position. And then I began to now fill in the gaps by buying some new plants or even swapping plants with friends who were also gardeners. I wanted to create a paradise because my outside room, which is called the garden, is actually my prayer room. When I'm out there, I feel so close to God. When I look at the plants and the vibrant colors that are coming out of soil, I mean, I'm just totally amazed that I can put something in the ground and it comes out with green leaves, it comes out with beautiful flowers, beautiful bright colors, and perfume. How is that possible? So I'm totally fascinated, and now I have a mission to fill every little gap in my garden with a new plant. I want to color coordinate it, so I've got blue and pink and reds over here, and on this side I've got purples and yellows and orange. It's just so, so amazing. I don't know if you're quite catching my enthusiasm.
So oh, yes. It's coming through loud and clear. Go ahead.
I know I'm not allowing you to get a word in edgewise, but this one particular day, I was in the garden. I was digging really hard because these roots, you know, they can be really, really hard. And I saw my husband walking toward me. So I thought, oh, good, he's coming to help me dig. He came with his phone, pointed the camera at me, and said, talk about what you're doing. And then he started asking me other questions. And now if you care to look on Facebook, there are about 10 or 15 videos that we have made in the last couple of weeks where he's asked me various questions, and I've talked to him about what I was doing and what it means, not just naturally, but also spiritually. Today I spoke about boundaries in your garden. I don't think in America you're so hot on fences, but here in the UK, most every garden has a fence, and they're also known as boundaries, okay? So you're responsible for a certain part of the fence. So I was talking to people, and I was saying to them, you need to make sure that you have boundaries in your life, because number one, that the boundaries or the fences give a structure to your garden. It also gives protection to what you have placed in that garden, and it highlights your area of responsibility. And so you not only have to have these boundaries, but then you have to maintain the boundaries. So every year, if you have a wooden fence, then you need to put some kind of preservative on it to stop it from rotting too soon, because fences over here are very expensive. Plus, it keeps out animals. It keeps out, well, we don't have cows where I live, but if you were in the countryside, it would keep out cows or any animals that are wandering around. The boundaries would keep them out so that you can protect the plant that you have invested your money in to make a beautiful space for yourself. And then I related that to the fact that we need boundaries. And I remember in one of your teachings, you said that to know your yes, you also have to know your no. There are some things you have to say no to. Boundaries help you to do that. And so you need to have those boundaries. People need to know that you have those boundaries. And they need to respect them, and you need to respect them yourself. Because one of the problems I had earlier, before I knew anything about my purpose, was the fact that I was here on planet Earth to make a difference, and that God had specific purpose and assignment.
alignment for me to walk in, the Bible just keeps saying, yes, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll help you. Yes, I'll go there. Yes, I'll go there. Not realizing that my energy was being drained. That instead of channeling it into what God had for me to do, I was dissipating my energy and doing things that really were of no consequence. But you don't know that. If you don't have somebody who is going to speak into your life, mentor you, guide you, give you the benefit of their experience, you could end up wasting your whole life running around like a headless chicken. And that's why we need boundaries. Yes, it's okay to help. But listen, your name is not spelled G-O-D. Neither is Christian spelled D-O-O-R-M-A-T. You have to know who you are, and you have to place a value on yourself. And here comes the boundaries to help you to do that. And it's your job to maintain those boundaries. Sure, you can let a few people in, but that's why you have a gate. When they come in, you can lock the gate. When they leave, you can lock the gate. And so that's just one of the examples of some of the things that I've been talking about. I've spoken about rain. I've spoken about soil. I've spoken about deadheading. And I will share with you what deadheading is, because a lot of people don't know. And if you're growing annual plants, normally you grow annuals to fill in the gaps when the perennial plants are not in flower. And so they're very in their production. So the annual plants have this philosophy that once they have reproduced themselves, they can die. So once they've produced seed, then you will start to see that a plant like a petunia, for example, will begin to go yellow. It will become more prone to disease, and it will die. And it will die quite early. Now, if I spent money buying annuals, I want them to flower from May right through to September, October, and even to November if I can help it. So I have to let the plant know, no, you have not done your job. You have not secured the next generation, so you have to keep flowering. And so I go every morning. That's one of the first things I do. I go out, I walk around the garden, I look at my basket, my planters, and I inspect the flowers in great detail. And each one that's beginning to die back or fade away, I pick off that flower head, not just the petal part, but right behind the seed pod or where the seeds would come from. I pick that off so that I frustrate the plant into continual production. And sometimes in our lives, God does that to us. We think we're peaking. We think we've made it. You know, that's it. My name's in lights, whatever. And God suddenly gets out his pruners and he cuts off that flower head so that we have to go on being productive. In one sense, I feel like he's done that in your life, because it seems as though you just go on producing. You are so prolific. There's always another idea. And it's never something like disconnected to what you're doing. It's usually connected to what you're already doing, but it's a variety. It's a variation. You know, it's something new. It's an addition. It's an enhancement. And so with your annual plants, you can do that. And you yourself should stick always to be productive. Never be satisfied with the status quo. And if I'm coming out of COVID with anything, and I will let you get a word in a second. If I'm coming out with anything, is that I'm no longer settling. I have learned so much during this time, and I want to increase my productivity so that God can get some glory from my life.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Pastor Yvonne Brooks from Birmingham, England. And Yvonne, you went to a lot of trouble to photograph and then to post your flowers with descriptions of what we were seeing. and then this is just such a basic question, but why did you do that? Why did you go to all the trouble of taking the pictures and giving some thought to, you know, how you were going to group them or you know, what you were going to say when you put them on Facebook? Just talk to us about what motivated you to do that.
Well, I have such a passion, and I derive so much pleasure from my plants. I wanted to inspire somebody, even if it was only one person. I wanted to inspire them to do the same that I'm doing. I find that gardening really enhances your mental health. And so it's no good doing something and you just keep it a secret. But neither was I boasting or trying to show off. I just wanted to share my joy and my pleasure in what was happening. Because, again, scripture applies here. You know, I may plant the seed, but it's God that gives the increase. And so if flowers and plants can give glory to God, so can I. So the whole idea is to not just bring inspiration, but also to share any experience that I have, to share the knowledge that I have. Because I find that people will say to me, well, how come you know all the names of the plants? I don't know all the names of the plants, but I know 90%. Of the names. And how do I do this? Normally, when you buy a plant in the nursery, they'll give you a little card with it, and it has a description of the best place to plant the flower, whether it likes light or shade, how often you need to feed it, whether it's a perennial and when it'll come back next year, and how to divide that flower to propagate it. And so what I do, I stick these little cards next to the flower when I plant it. And every time I go and look at that flower, I will take up the card and I will read the name again. I will look at the flower so that I get the name and the flower connected in my mind and also some of its habits. And that's how I build my knowledge. Now, I realize that most people don't have that knowledge. They'll know that it's a red flower or it's a yellow flower. They don't know if it's a perennial or an annual. And so for people to be able to recreate, they need that mentor like I still have. And so I'm becoming a remote mentor. I'm saying to people out there, you can reproduce this in your life. You can have this same enjoyment. You can have this pleasure as well. And that's the main reason that I do it, Dr. Stanko.
Yeah. Now, have you considered that your photography is a creative expression?
I wouldn't have a few years ago, but of course, since meeting you, I realized that creativity cannot be limited in its measure. When we produce something that wasn't already there or a skill that we didn't have before, I now recognize that as creativity and bringing something new or enhancing something that you already had. So I wasn't very good at taking photographs at first. But I realized that on this phone that I have, the camera is really, really powerful. And if I can just get in the right position with the right lighting, I can capture a really great image of my flower. And, of course, now you can edit the photograph so that you can bring it in nearer so people can see the details. So, yes, to me, it's not in isolation. It's a part of my whole life creative experience. And when you share what you do and I listen to you, I'm always getting inspired. So now it feels like my whole life has become a creative force, even to the sense that I'm now, you know, going over into a little bit of artwork. I'm not a wonderful artist or anything. But the thing is, I get so much pleasure from doing it. It's creative. And sometimes I can feel like God is speaking to me through what I'm doing or giving himself an expression in what I'm doing. The latest thing that I discovered was that on my iPad, the iPad Pro, you can get the pen, and there's a facility on there where you can create artwork. And it's totally amazing because you're not limited to color or shape. You can do almost anything that you want to. And again, everything that I'm doing is connected to the pleasure that I get from doing it. And that takes me to a higher thought in the sense of
I know that God created us for his pleasure. So I know that he gets pleasure, my pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am seeking a life of pleasure. Now that may sound frivolous, but it's in the word, it's in scripture, it's in the Psalms, and in his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now, I'm not saying there are no inconveniences in my life, no hardships or tests or trials. But what I'm saying is, everything that I engage in for him and for myself brings me so much pleasure that the pleasure can supersede any pain or discomfort that I might be experiencing, any inconveniences that I might be experiencing. And it's not just with the creation of artwork or gardening, but even sitting with an individual and helping them to recognize that they have a purpose in life, that their gifts, their talents, their expression of who they are is part of their purpose. I enjoy that so much. So I'm realizing that everything that we do and are involved or engaged in can give us so much pleasure that it takes our lives to a new level of expression. And none of it is determined by how skillful you are, because skill doesn't come because you desire it. Skill comes because of the application of the things that you do. And the more skillful, the more you apply, the more skillful you become. Imagine, in the scripture we hear about Bezalel, who was so gifted in craftsmanship and in working with metal. I'm sure he didn't start off like that, but he became more skillful as he allowed himself to make mistakes, as he allowed himself to learn from those mistakes, to learn new techniques, to try new tools, and he wasn't afraid to take on a creative assignment. And it should be the same for our lives. We should see everything that we touch turning to gold in the center, its creative force, and its impact on those around us.
Yes. Yvonne, I just need to say, so you're going in and out a little bit, so I just want to make sure please speak into the mouthpiece as closely as you can, because it's sometimes I can hear real well, and sometimes it gets just a little muffled. So now, you have talked for a good 30 minutes about plants and the analogies and all the things that you've learned from it. Have you considered or have you been writing about this?
I haven't written so much about it, but yesterday I was thinking about whether I should write about it. The videos that I've done, I think, is going to be the starting point for my writing, because I'm going to transcribe those and then begin from there. But I'm also thinking of having my videos on YouTube and just continuing to talk to people, asking them to maybe send suggestions in as to what areas they want me to talk about, what they need advice or help on. And then, of course, that can be turned into a book. But it's already taken the form of a book in my mind. And I didn't start off thinking about it like that, but people seem really interested. So if people are interested, then I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah. Well, you're so enthusiastic about it that it will just flow. I mean, too often I think we again try to go into areas where we think we're supposed to write, and we get these blocks, you know, but I've never been blocked, because I only write about things that I'm interested in. I feel no pressure to write about anything else, or feel like I'm writing too much about purpose or too much about creativity. If that's what's in my heart, then I'm going to let that come out. And so, you know, what you shared today is so good. And of course, when you take your own photography, you don't have to worry about getting permissions to use it, or, you know, how you use it. And to hear you're doing some videos and doing some teaching within that, which to me, you could even do in the winter months, you know, if there's anything you do to prepare the garden, or the sadness of looking at it and not seeing the color, but envisioning what was or what could, what will be again, and how that sustains you, it's quite powerful. And of course, you're such a fantastic communicator that people want to hear from you. They always want to hear more from you, and they always get so much from what you're saying. So I think you're really, really on to something here, and I just want to encourage you, don't feel pressure to be writing about, you know, the Bible lessons necessarily, but incorporate those lessons into the context of this area of God's creation that He's really moving in your life through and with. And so it's quite exciting. Now, you mentioned artwork, and you sent me some pictures the other day, and I had no idea. So you alluded to it earlier. Talk to us more about when this started and what you're doing and what you've learned from it.
Well, when I was at school, I always loved to paint. But you know how life just takes you away from the things that you like to do or you enjoy doing, or, oh, you can't earn a living from that, so forget it. Not realizing that everything is not about earning a living, but it's about doing things that sustain your life and add to you personally. And so for years and years, I didn't really do anything with that. I used to scribble and doodle, and I have loads of those things lying around. But then my son-in-law gave me a gift at Christmas last year of an art lesson. So I went along to this art lesson with great trepidation. I was so worried that I was going to look like an idiot. And that's the other thing that stops us from stepping out into our purpose, because we worry about what other people are going to think, or what we're going to look like if we make a mess of it or fail. But I want to say to anybody out there that's listening, you will always learn more from your mistakes than you do from not trying. So get yourself out there. And I spent a whole day in this studio being tutored and just how to, you know, feel the flow of the pen and how to use the pen and how to make different lines, which you could then turn into a picture. I had such a wonderful day that I thought, yes, I've got to keep this up. I need to do this. So I went out and I just bought some very simple materials. I didn't want to go out and buy, you know, oil paints and stuff. And then a few weeks later, I might have felt that I didn't want to do it. So I bought some pencils, I bought some paper, and I try to scribble something every so often, especially if I'm feeling any kind of stress, because as the pencils come out and as they slide across that paper, it's like the stress just leaves me. I can feel my blood pressure going down. So it's therapy, and it's also creativity. And I'm sure some of the things I've done could actually be hung on the wall. They look that good. I've seen stuff in hotels that are worse than what I've done. So I think that we mustn't take ourselves too seriously or feel that we need to be on the level of Rembrandt or, you know, one of the other great painters for it to be a good piece of artwork. If you enjoyed it and it gives you pleasure, then that is good enough. If you get a nice frame, you can stick it in the wall and just as good as anybody else's. And people will come in and say, oh, who's the artist? And then you can let them know it's you. So I'm not planning to stop anytime soon. I'm going to keep on going through my artwork, and I'm going to take some more lessons. And I did also mention about my iPad Pro. It's a fantastic tool. And the reason why it's so good is because I can take it anywhere with me, even if I'm going to be traveling. I can still do artwork, you know. So I'm learning, as I'm getting older, I'm learning that there are certain things I need in my life just to maintain and to inspire me and to keep me on the productive side, as opposed to thinking, oh, I'm old enough now, I can stop.
Yeah. Yeah, you said something so interesting, because we never compare our creativity to somebody on our level, we always compare it to one of the grand masters. You know, like my painting is not a Rembrandt, my novel is not a Hemingway, you know, my poetry is not a Keats. Because it's that's how insecure we are in it, or the standard that we believe we have to achieve for it really to be creative. But I would dare say, you know, you do a painting and you give it to someone, they value that because you did it, because it was a gift from you. If you give it to your children or your grandchildren, they may keep it for a couple of generations to say, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, this picture has been in our family, and it has value because not necessarily the quality, but of who did it, why it was given, and there's this love tie with it. And early on in the pandemic, I was posting that I had something I had never posted before, that God is love. Therefore, any motivation for our work that is not based in love is not based in God. So what you've been talking about now is, you know, for 40 minutes, and it just flows and there's no end in sight, is that you love this. You are seeing something about yourself, and therefore it's just flowing. There's no, you have to do this. You get to do this.
I absolutely love it. And what it also highlights is that I'm multi-talented, and I'm not saying that to boast, because you can't have a garden without planning, without preparation, without having certain other things in place. And so even if those things were latent and you're not even aware of it, as you begin to garden and other people start to admire it, you begin to realize, oh my goodness, there's more to me than I realized. And if only every single one of us could come to that place. Because what I'm realizing is, and again, you mentioned it about Rembrandt and other people who are up there. See, God is not looking for you to be up there. Mm-hmm. All he wants from you is your 100%. And okay, you might not be able to paint like, Rembrandt and these other famous painters. I can't even remember another famous painter.
Monet
right now,
and the
right, all of that.
Picasso.
But if you've given your 100%, that's 100%. And that's all he wants. So we need, as you say, to stop comparing ourselves, because I remember for years, I didn't want to write a book because, oh, Joyce May has already written, and who's going to read my book, you know, when they can read Joyce May's? Nothing to do with it. You bring a different flavor and fragrance. That's why I'm encouraging people everywhere to know their own flavor and their own fragrance. You know, all of us have certain leanings to different kinds of food. So I love onions. I love garlic in my food. You know, so once I start to taste that, or even smell it in the preparation of the cooking, I know I'm going to have a good meal. And the chef cooking the meal might not be a chef at all. It might just be my friend. But the meal is just as good as if Chef Ramsay cooked it. Because the flavors are what I love. And so somebody is going to love your flavor. They're going to enjoy your expression, your creativity. But like you always say, Dr. Stanko, if you don't write it, nobody can read it. And so
if you don't paint it, nobody
can
see it.
Right. So we must just get on and do it and realize that all of this is part of the work that we have been called to do. Because, you know, we downgrade our creativity because, oh, we don't put the suit on and go to the office every day and paint, or go to the office every day and write a book. But I want us to reflect back to the garden and realize that God gave Adam and Eve the job of tending the garden. That was their job. And they were very good at it till, you know what happened, the fall came. But I think that God is trying to get us back to an original idea that he had for our peace, for our lives to be conducive to his will, for us to be satisfied in what we do and fulfilled in his presence. I believe that's what he's trying to do. And creativity, I believe, is the is part of the vehicle to take us there, because he is the most creative being that ever existed. I mean, he didn't need a paintbrush. He said, let there be, and there was. So we can speak some things into being, but also I think he's given us these hands to do something with.
When we go on safari, there are two colors that you see on safari. There's brown and there's green. That's it. Yet the clouds, the sun, the shades of green, the shades of brown, it's absolutely spectacular. I mean, like you were saying, of how God could produce things and then how we see them, because our eyes from individual to individual perceives the colors a little bit differently. My wife and I will joke, I think that's orange. No, I think that's red. No, I think it's more purple. No, I think it's more this, because that's how we perceive it. That's how we process it. And it's not wrong. It's how our brain, our how we pick up the light and how we interpret it and how we process it. Also, I wanted to mention, when you mentioned Rembrandt, and when you go to Amsterdam and go to his house, and it was his house, and he used it as an art gallery. So it was not only his studio, it was his house, and they know exactly what was in his house, even though he painted 400 years ago, and the reason they know exactly what was in there, because he went bankrupt, and he had to inventory everything in his house. So again, when we say, oh, I want to be like a Rembrandt, well, Rembrandt, Mozart, many of the masters were not successful in their day. And I jokingly have said, I'm writing for a future generation, because this generation sure ain't buying my books. But there's some truth to that. I don't mind writing for the future if God wants to use my books later and not now, or he doesn't have to use them at all. And so this year, and I think it was during the pandemic, I was looking for some pictures to include in something I was writing, and I have about 100,000 pictures in my photo library from all my safaris, from all my travels, from family, from teaching, from – and I said, you know, I think 100,000 pictures qualifies me with the title photographer. And I looked up photography, and it says somebody who takes pictures, usually professionally, but often for as an amateur. So I'm not even saying I'm an amateur photographer. I'm a photographer. I love to take pictures and share them with other people. I'm not a studio photographer. I'm not a portrait photographer. I'm an experiential photographer. And from what I'm hearing with you are now looking for ways to capture the beauty that you see in such a way that those who can't be there, you can share it with them and they can be inspired, knowing full well they may see something totally different than you see, even in including the photography, the photograph to them. They may have an experience in their past, or those were the flowers at my mother's funeral, or in our wedding, or whatever, and it means something to them. And we're giving God something to use that can be interpreted and used in an abundance of ways. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's amazing, because we want to inspire people, but we must allow them to be inspired in a way that's congruent to them. We
that's
can't
correct.
Dictate, you know, I'm putting this picture out here, and this is what you're seeing. No, we have to allow them to see what they see, the colors that they see, the fragrance that they smell. As you said to us many times, we just put it out there and let God use it in whatever way he chooses. So I believe that's what needs to happen, rather than, yes, this is it, number one, number two, number three. No.
Yeah.
Just do it and release it with no strings attached.
Yeah, and you know, and even when you made the statement, I am multi-talented, but you felt you had to qualify it. I'm not boasting, because we have been so conditioned in the church not to talk about who we are, that very often people do hear something like that and think, oh, well, she or well, he is talking about himself. But you are making a truthful statement. You are making a statement about who God made you to be. You are giving a testimony about what it is that you were learning, about who you are, who you never saw you are, and that's okay. It's permissible to say, I'm a good writer. I'm not a particularly good pastor, but I'm a good writer, and this is who God made me to be. And so I just want to encourage you to, the best for you is yet to come. You're just this is like I can't use the example of Columbus because he's fallen out of favor in our nation, but it's like an explorer who's come to the coast of a virgin territory, and that's where you are, and now you're going to have so much fun, so much enjoyment exploring these new territories that were always there, but you had never seen them or had never given yourself permission to explore them. So, Yvonne, we've got about 3 minutes. So wrap up. What are you learning out of all this? What's the pandemic teaching you about you?
Well, the pandemic has taught me that there is more to me than even I knew. We allow other people to frame us and to put us in a box. But along with God, we get to decide our identity. And I would say to any of your listeners who are out there today, please don't allow anyone to pigeonhole you or to put you in a box or to decide the extent of your limitations. Only God knows the extent of your limitations. And even He has said to you, I have given you power to become the sons of God. Therefore, if we walk in God's power, nothing becomes impossible for us. And so I've learned that I have strength, I have persistence. I always used to think that I was a starter and not a finisher because of my personality style. But I have realized during this time that if something is really burning my passion, not only am I a starter, but I'm a continuer, and I am a finisher. So I've learned that God didn't cheat on me anywhere, but He's given me the full package. Everything that I need is there. And what I need to do is work in the area of my passion.
Yeah, yeah. And my goodness, Women of Purpose, the church, all of us will benefit when you do that and when you and your God-given gift to inspire other people to do that. Boy, the world, the church, will be a better place. Well, Pastor Yvonne, the time always goes quickly when we are together, so please give my love to your family. How's Jade doing?
Oh, Jade's amazing. She wanted to come in with me for the interview, but I made her stay out because I don't think she's very much.
Well, you tell her I said hello, and next time I see her, I'll have something for her. And but please give my love to the rest of your family. We're very excited. I'm very excited to see how all this gardening and artwork and photography, along with the revelation that you have, all mixes together. So keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and my love to all the family, and we'll speak soon.
All righty. God bless. Take care.
God bless you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Yvonne Brooks. Boy, I told you, I titled this New Expressions of Creativity, and I didn't know they were how deep they were, but what a tremendous insight. And I hope you were hearing it better than sometimes I was, because it was going in and out, and that happened. I mean, she's 4,000 miles away, so we will give some leeway and latitude for that. Don't have a guest scheduled for next week, but I'll be working on that this weekend, and I'm confident I will have. I do have somebody for Monday. So anyway, this is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose. I hope you heard this interview and its implications for you. Be who God made you to be. Don't be afraid to express it. Follow your interests. Don't hold back. Don't apologize. And be the best expression of who God made you to be that you possibly can until we're together again. That's all your homework, and I trust that you will follow through and you will have good testimonies from it. Until next week, so long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.